We are now recording. This is the Feudal Podcast. I'm Ian.
I'm Zach.
Back from the dead. Yeah. No, it will seem like, you know, it's been a week.
It will be to us, but it won't really seem like that to anyone else.
If you guys want to email us, you can send an email to futilepodcast@gmail.com. Maybe someone will finally do that at some point. I think I'm going to
make... You've had a couple emails. You've had a few viewer mails.
Oh, yeah, I have. I'm going to make up a little audio promo that I'm going to have on the site, and then if any of the other podcasts happen to visit it, right, they can play it, and then I'll play theirs if they want me to. I should probably just start doing that. I should go get all the ones that have got like 1,200 listeners and stuff and play them. Like that's going to do them any good to hear, you know, for the three people that listen.
And you should put together clips where you say something extremely sexist and I say something that's completely retarded. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get the idea that we're really brilliant film scholars.
Of course. So we're going to try to do our year in review now, and you're scoping around seeing what other sites
I'm actually just tens
and so forth, and
I'm looking at some
maybe just what were movies critically acclaimed movies released in the year of 2007.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's one problem here with I'm going through IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the heck of it, because I was interested actually a couple days ago, and I should have done this then, but I've been so busy with work, I decided I should just look at every movie that came out in 2007. And see what... Because I saw a decent number of movies this year in the theater. Where last year I didn't see as many. I was renting more last year, but... I guess that was last year. The year before. But one of the IMDb's failings is they don't have, like... A lot of sports sites have things where you can check everyone's rank by every single category. Yeah. Stuff like that. And you'd think they would do something like that with movies, too. Like, by year, by genre, by mm-hmm. all this stuff. And you can't just do that.
You can't check it by year?
No, you can't check stuff by year.
I wonder if like Wikipedia really would have something for that. Maybe you could just go 2007 to create
all movies.
But
yeah, Wikipedia is a pile of crap, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's
useful for crappy movie stuff. It's just not useful for
film. I was just hoping for more than a top 10. Yeah. AV Club had some interesting stuff, but I'm not going to go searching through their site.
Yeah, the Film Junk one just should be like right at the top. So Film Junk, we're cannibalizing your guys' stuff to spur our own memories on.
Yeah.
Though they have like Hot Rod in all their top 10 worst movies, and I think we both kind of liked it.
Yeah, and actually our friend Luke Honey emailed me yesterday, and he said, by the way, I saw Hot Rod today, and he said, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And he said, I don't know anyone who thinks it's funny. And I said, actually, I thought it was the best comedy I saw all year. And
that's weird. Are you two usually...
Because
you write a lot of comedy together.
We do, but I found that his ideas of comedy are different than mine.
Do you think that's new? Do you think that's like sort of a pretense to the fact that he's been down there
in these
classes discussing the stuff? Like it's all very serious and all very like business
oriented. There's just something about, like, he loves South Park comedy, and I do too, but what he loves out of the South Park is the outrageous stuff, the stuff that pushes the envelope. And what I love is just playing comedy. Like, even my favorite type of comedy is absurdist Conan O'Brien stuff.
Yeah.
That is my absolute favorite type of comedy. And that's why I love the first two Adam Sandler movies. That's why I loved Hot Rod. That's why I like Stella.
So you like Tim and Eric?
Yeah, exactly. It's like non sequitur stuff that has... It's the type of thing where you watch it and you're thinking while you're watching it, this actually isn't funny at all, and that makes me laugh. Like, it makes me laugh that they're presenting you something that's supposed to be comedy that actually isn't funny if you think hard enough about it. It's not funny.
You're thinking about that level of what they think
stupid.
About it. Yeah.
It's so stupid that's my thing. I appreciate all levels of humor, but he really... we both agreed that we're both coming to find the Judd Apatow stuff as basically just a lot of swearing with pop culture references.
And then it's typical arc of the loser guy,
but I mean, you're going to get that in.
Gets his thing.
John Cusack movies,
fall apart.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the basic, you know, comedy or romantic comedy arc. I do wish that I had seen Sweeney Todd before we did this, but I don't even know if it's playing yet up here.
It's gotten, like, good reviews, hasn't it?
Oh, it's gotten fantastic. The ones I saw that were best picture type things were all split between No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood and Sweeney Todd.
Like, see, that's There Will Be Blood is like cheating because when is it? I say,
well, it's in limited release. They did the Oscar thing, which is the best movies usually of the year come out right before the season.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. And they limited release them, and then they actually release them like around the time of the Oscars, so you can watch it while it wins awards. Yeah. It seems like it does seem like cheating.
Well, I'm expecting to probably really like There Will Be Blood, unless I mean it could go P.T. Anderson. It could really veer off and get real preachy at some point, you know, and be like a whole like allegory about the war and oil and greed. It's supposed to just
be completely brilliant and
well, yeah, but you gotta look at who's saying that, you know.
Right, no, that's true, but I just read an interview with P.T. Anderson, the first one I read, and he was so down to earth and so funny. I just like looking around like,
okay.
And he was like just really just
no he goofy seemed, he and affable like a cool, and like he didn't like a cool seem guy. Like
he was a pretentious guy at all, which no, is weird because Magnolia is like the most pretentious movie I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But he doesn't seem that way. Yeah, I mean I saw an interview with him on IFC, the ones with that one guy, I think his name's Elvis Mitchell. He's got kind of the cool hair, he's always smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
He was on the Peckinpah stuff. He was one of the, him and Ebert were two of the like actual film critics that they had in this interview on the Wild Bunch DVD, which I'll watch a couple more Peckinpahs and then we'll do that as a one. Sure. You wanted to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to watch the Peckinpah. Billy the Kid one and the head of Garcia.
Alfredo Garcia, yeah.
And then I think between that and Straw Dogs,
actually, Wild one Bunch, that I would really recommend that you watch is called
is it the Ballad of
Cross of Iron with James Coburn, and it's all about Nazis. It's a World War II movie about Nazis and them questioning the people above them.
Oh,
and
weird.
It's full of the slow motion bodies exploding. Yeah. Wild Bunch is one of my favorite movies, and it's definitely my favorite Western, I think. But I still think in terms of just artisanship and probably meaning and all that stuff too, The Straw Dogs is like a really superior film, I think. And a lot of people kind of
It's a little more dense, probably, too.
Right.
I think Wild Bunch is still kind of traditional. It's just that it's, like, the high end. It's got Robert Ryan in it, too, who I like. I like Robert Ryan. A lot of old film noirs and stuff. He was good.
One thing I really liked about Wild Bunch was the cast, because if you watch just a lot of movies from that era and before, you see a lot of those guys, and they're in a bunch of different film noirs, and they're in a bunch of different just, like, gangster movies and dramas And
you got Ernie Borgnine.
Yeah, of course. Borgnine is always there winning Oscars and stuff. He didn't win an Oscar for that one. But
he did for Marnie, I think, right?
He probably didn't ever deserve to win an Oscar. He's really not a good actor. Or wasn't, I guess.
He just kind of seems like he's playing the same sort of guy. Like, I just see Manny from The Single Guy whenever I...
Yeah. The happy doorman. I always think of him choking on a hot dog in basketball and popping back out of his mouth as they do CPR and it going back down his throat each time Trey Parker turns his head.
I guess I need to see Basketball.
You probably should. It's a really, really good movie.
I think I should. Okay, so 2007.
Okay, so it looks like they've got a variety of...
They've got their albums and they've got their...
Well, but it looks like... Do they have like a combined top 10 movies? Because it looks like they just have... Each one has their own top 10.
Each one has their own. And so, you know, we can just glance... You just, you know, see if you concur. I think Knocked Up's on there.
Right.
I didn't see Superbad in... I don't think any of theirs, though.
Which is weird because...
I think we both thought Superbad was a better film. But we also liked Hot Rod, so...
Yeah.
We're the Philistines of the podcast movie-verse.
What I saw, Born Ultimatum.
I didn't think Born Ultimatum was all that.
I didn't think so either. I didn't end up watching The Lookout. I heard it was great, though.
I did. That's what I can talk about. I tried to watch a lot of
stuff. Juno, I'm really not planning on watching. I'm done with quirky stuff for a while.
You're just sick of it?
It just doesn't do anything for me right now. I didn't see that. Saw that. I didn't see that. I heard that was good. It's a documentary, though, so I probably won't watch it.
Oh, Zoo?
No, The King of Kong.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it's pretty funny. I heard their review of it. It sounded pretty funny.
I don't want to see American Gangster because I know what happens to the people in real life, and it's boring.
It's like 2.5 hours long.
And Darjeeling Limited. Interesting. I didn't see anyone else, so he's got some honorable mentions there. It's interesting looking at this because I'm seeing Grindhouse, the honorable mentions, and Grindhouse was one that... almost like got passed over. It was leading up to it. It had huge amounts of hype just because it's Quentin Tarantino and it's Robert Rodriguez and they're bringing something out together and it was novel and all this stuff. And it ended up being exactly probably what they wanted it to, which is pretty much like, you know, I mean, they shot what would have been Grindhouse films, except for Planet Terror is so over-the-top violent, they couldn't have filmed that back in the 70s because they just didn't have the capability of doing it. Like, he's got a lot of CGI stuff in there. And
He's got like
the blood from... effects are incredible in Planetary. Like somebody gets shot and like 18 gallons of blood like flies out 50 feet. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. And there's this great scene where two soldiers are trying to rape these prisoners, and but the virus is like getting to them, and so their body parts are melting off, and the one guy pulls on his pants and his dick is like melting off his body.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Terrible. That definitely should have been the like, later movie. Then.
And he gets all upset, but he goes, "You know what? I'm going to do it anyway." It should have been the later movie, I think.
Everyone says, I think.
Okay.
I just didn't. I mean, part of the problem is that I didn't start getting into finally seeing more movies and really getting serious with this podcast till probably. I mean, we didn't start recording the pod for the podcast till
halfway through the year, late like, spring.
Yeah, it was early, like April or something maybe.
And
so I want to see I Am Legend, and I kind of want to see
I watched I Am Legend.
I kind of want to see Lars and the Real Girls, if that's going to be playing anywhere, because it's gotten good reviews from the Film Junk guys, and I, for the life of me, can't see how such a ridiculous premise could be something you can't at some point just
find. I heard it was really terrible. It was a little bit saccharine sweet.
Yeah, that's that, it would have to do that at some point.
That I heard that
people have kind of compared it to sort of a Capra thing, and I'm like, but really, it sounds like the guy's just mentally ill, and everyone thinks.
Well, it's like the Harvey thing. It's like that sort of movie, I think.
Harvey.
The one about the Invisible Rabbit, James Stewart.
No.
And by the way, the rabbit in Donnie Darko was modeled after the shadow of the Harvey on the cover of that movie. Because you never actually see the rabbit, but you see the shadow of this giant rabbit who's James Stewart's invisible friend in the movie. And everyone thinks he's just crazy, and you never really know.
Weird, yeah. Well, that seems like it's a bad idea. It's not like the town does a good job by supporting the crazy delusions of somebody.
Right.
There's nothing worse than watching a bunch of anime dorks clap at a trailer.
Yeah, I've never understood that. I could flip out if they were like, from a mining expedition in Deli East Timor that's been conducted for the past 30 years, we managed to dig up a ancient text of Fist of the North Star that we're bringing out to you today at this very moment, and we're going to show it in its entirety right now, and everybody gets free snacks.
Wait, Dave, are you sure you'd be clapping, or would you be beating the crap out of the fat dude next to you in a sailor hat? Because that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, I love Fist of the North Star, fatty! Tell me how much you love it! Take off the stupid hat!
Dave and Joel's Best Karate for the Gentleman.
The anime podcast for people who don't like anime.
Or podcasts.
Find us online at www.daveandjoel.com.
You know, I think anyone can kind of get the idea of, we chose to go see either movies that we knew were going to be good, or movies we knew were going to be really awful.
Yeah, we kind of didn't.
That's what we saw in the theaters this year.
But we're kind of usually a little behind on it, so we've missed some of the other podcasts. But I mean, I think what we bring to the table is somewhat different. I hear people, in other podcasts when they're reviewing something, like I agree with something here or there, I might disagree with something there, and then I might think, well, I mean, their assessment's one thing, but, you know, the other part of it, it's like they're not quite bringing up why it's actually good or why it's actually bad. They're kind of skirting around, in my opinion, what the justifications for it could be. Like people like... the Film Junk guys liked Spider-Man 3, which most people hated, but they never really like put it into the way I put it into as a comic nerd, saying, well, here's one reason why as a comic nerd I could actually still appreciate this movie that most comic nerds didn't like.
Yeah, but you're the only person in the world who thought that, so...
Apparently. I'm so lonely. Play a violin.
I'm so
lonely. I'm so lonely.
So, I really enjoyed... No Country for Old Men was really good, and if I probably had to compile a list by, like, numbers and stuff, that would be on there. Zodiac, which was always also really critically acclaimed, was something that I really enjoyed. And in terms of complete craftsmanship of the whole thing, was probably the most impressive drama I saw all year.
Zodiac?
Yeah, it was just a beautifully shot, well acted.
But isn't it more of a suspense thriller?
You know, it's suspenseful, but it's really a character study of these main people turning their lives over to obsession. And some of them shut it down and some of them don't. Some of them fall off the charts because of it, and some of them lose everything and keep going.
And yeah, I still need to see that.
It's really a great movie. And it's one of those things where, and they're saying this about There Will Be Blood, is that this is P.T. Anderson crafting a masterpiece for years. And Zodiac is by far Fincher's like masterpiece, I think. You can take, I mean, there's...
Oh, are you kidding me, though?
There's positive aspects of his super stylish, non-substantial movies like Fight Club and stuff like that that are you know, impressive and, you know, memorable and have a lot of pop culture impact and stuff like that. And they say really trite kind of meanings, you know, that the Fight Club especially, Seven, you know, that uh-huh. sort of thing. And they're like genre films almost.
Mm-hmm.
And Zodiac is like... I don't know. I honestly think that over time it's going to be remembered as his best film, at least out of what's come yet. I don't know. We'll see what he does next. I know he was working on, and I think James Cameron is doing it now. But there was some like
there was Rendezvous with Rama.
Yeah.
According to IMDb, he's back up.
He's back on it.
But he's going to do Benjamin Button, the F. Scott Fitzgerald story first.
The Brad Pitt one.
Yeah.
But the guy who ages backwards or something.
Something
like that.
Weird like that. I don't know. Kind of like what's his name? The baby on Mork and Mindy.
right. Great reference.
Jonathan Winters.
Yes, Jonathan Winters, yeah. So one thing that I remembered is that I went out and saw a couple of movies on my own. I saw movies by a couple of my favorite directors of all time, which is Paul Verhoeven and David Cronenberg.
That's right.
And I have to say that I loved Zodiac, I loved No Country for Old Men. I really liked Gone Baby Gone. Gone Baby Gone was the most surprising good film that I saw this year. It surprised me that it was so good. And the acting performances were fantastic. It had some great twists and moral quandaries in it.
That would probably be my two or my three.
Yeah,
that's
up there.
No Country's probably my one.
I think it is.
But there's
almost
a lot
like,
of fur
yeah.
going on now. And if I'm pretty sure if I stop and watch it again, I'll be like, yeah, it's good, but it's not great, you know?
Well, it's almost one of those backlash things. Yeah. If they were saying it was like the fifth best movie of the year, you'd probably be like, well, you know, I think it might be higher than that.
Yeah, well,
it really
definitely
is
better than the fifth.
It really is a great film. It's one of those ones that like,
it's like
the Coen brothers movie. Succeed in making things that almost seem so empty that you're just constantly searching for meaning mm-hmm. in them. If you watch Miller's Crossing, like it's almost crafted the same way. There's a lot of long, quiet shots of nothing and people saying things that are like typical to the genre and with mm-hmm. certain dialects. Like Buscemi and Turturro really talk like, you know, 40s mobsters or whatever in that movie. And I think it's almost like there to make you think. I wonder, you know, it's like the fluff that kind of goes past your eyes mm-hmm. so that you don't see like the emptiness behind it, and it's like almost like a David Lynch thing, except for they have an actual plot where, you know, you can kind of almost put your own meaning into the sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then in other films of theirs, it's kind of like, you know, self-evident what's going on.
There's usually a bit of humor in almost every one of their movies.
Oh, totally.
Even
yeah.
in No Country.
Yeah, there was. It was humor. Really dry in that, but there were moments.
Dry and arid, just like the
just
Mexican...
Like the desert in which...
Desert...
Llewellyn Moss ran through.
Yes.
But two of my most enjoyable films were Eastern Promises and The Black Book. And The Black Book was interesting. I said this before. It was because it was Verhoeven going back to the Netherlands. And it was him making... It was his most Hollywood film.
Yeah, that still surprises
and
me.
And it's really interesting because it was lit like... It was lit like Singing in the Rain or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like this is a Hollywood movie that I'm watching.
Wow, like an old Hollywood, like a
kind
gold, golden
yeah,
age
yeah,
Hollywood
exactly.
movie.
And it was, the acting was really good by a few people. And it was really, I mean, if I looked at it and some just no-name American person had made it about like Americans and not about the
mm-hmm.
subject matter that it was, I would have thought, oh, this is kind of a trite action thriller. But it's interesting because it's an action thriller set inside a...
sort of a World War II
drama. A World War II thing, and it's set in, you know, in the Netherlands, and it has to do with, like, Germans stationed there, and people that are, like an underground, and there's backstabbers, and the best thing about it was the lead actress, her name was Caprice or Carice Van Houten or something like that, and she was just great in it, and I think if she was an English-speaking actress, she would be a massive star. She looks like almost like a really glamorous, like Christina Aguilera, but like much prettier. And it was interesting to watch the movie.
Is she the one that like has like is like naked and then is like,
yeah, there's a part where like
he's thrown on her, yeah, or something.
They dump like a bucket of crap that all the concentration camp people had been crapping in,
oh
like
gosh,
on top of her, and like they mock her in front of all these people, and I don't know, it was
difficult,
but it really was like extremely entertaining. And Verhoeven is like really, it was him at like, it was almost like him being his most comfortable, because it's the kind of thing that, mm-hmm, that he kind of did in all his movies, except for he wasn't, you know, Starship Troopers was something that was sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into for like special effects and things like that. And people ended
visual
up,
effects, yeah.
And people ended up walking away saying, what the hell was that? Because they didn't get it was satire.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, he puts it in everything. So this was like a non-satirical, just straight up, you know, movie that kind of fits in many genres, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just really well done.
Yeah, I kind of wish I actually get around to watching it.
And then Eastern Promises was one of my favorites as well, and I think you liked it a little bit less than I did, even though you did give it a good review.
No, I gave it a good review, but I probably didn't like it as much as you. I did just recently see Spider, and I thought...
Yeah, Spider is a really strange thing.
I didn't get the point in that. And I think I should get it again, because they have the director commentary, and I kind of just want to... Either the commentary will completely demystify anything, mm-hmm, or it'll just be, like, really mundane, like, yeah, right, you know, we had to just be, like, anecdotal on-set stories and idiotic stuff like that. Like,
right.
Ray thought we should, you know, give him a ball of yarn to have the whole time, but instead we just gave him the sock, because, you know, that's just what we had at the time, or something, you know, like, what?
Right. You still haven't seen Dead Ringers, have you?
I've seen parts of Dead Ringers, okay, with Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy's Iron. There are a lot of Cronenberg movies that are really fantastic. And now, by the way, every time I even say his name, I think of that picture you put up on the site, which just really bugs me out, where he's like looking through the...
And he's like...
Yeah. He just looks really creepy.
That picture ended up, it was like on the Facebook thing I set up too.
Right.
To kind of whore out the podcast.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
Zvortbok. See, her name, the actress's name that I was talking about is Carice Van Houten. That was correct.
Van Houten?
Yeah, Van Houten.
What does she look like here?
It's her right there.
Wow.
Really, yeah, really pretty. Like,
she does look like
Christina. And this guy was great, too. This guy was like Kevin Spacey, but like sleazy. It was awesome. There were some great actors in it. I really enjoyed the film.
Maybe we'll see more of her, huh?
It might. I mean, the problem is it's going to be all, like, Dutch films. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they speak, like, four different languages. And there's English spoken, there's, like, Yiddish or something like that, and there's German and Dutch, I guess.
Wow.
Dutch is even a language. I don't know much about Europe, sorry.
Dutch is the language.
And then, you know, the thing I liked about Eastern Promises was one of the things I think you probably liked less, which was the structure of it, plot-wise. It did the thing where, like, if you're drawing, you know, you learn this in, like, screenwriting, mm-hmm, class or whatever, but if you're drawing this, like, you know, incline of
yeah,
what happens.
The rising action,
and there's a little, you know, jump right
plot
where
point.
The plot point is, and, you know, the axe and everything like that. And what Eastern Promises does is it goes like this, doot, doot, and then it just tails downward. And it ends, and it, actually very similarly to No Country for Old Men. There's like,
you mean with the anticlimactic aspect,
almost anticlimactic,
and you like the anticlimactic aspect?
I do, because it's different. It's just something that's so,
it lets you reflect on the characters,
yeah,
a little more. It's not just like boom.
Yeah, and if you think,
what do you
about
think
it,
about,
I mean,
that?
Exactly.
It's like boom, and then
it makes you,
what
think
you
a little bit more.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the thing is, if you know, if you really think about it hard, there are only so many movies that you can make. There are only
yeah,
so many plots. There are only so many motives for any character. So basically, you can say that any movie that's been made is one that's been made before, kind of.
On
in
some
a different,
level,
yeah,
yeah.
On some level. So, when something comes at you differently with style or structure,
mm-hmm,
then it seems like a different movie to you. And Eastern
Especially
Promises...
Especially if you can still pull off, like, you know, the basics of,
yeah,
like, a conflict and a narrative, you know, where there's a protagonist trying to achieve a goal, and you get that clear sense that there's a goal there.
Right.
Whether it's achieved or not achieved, or it becomes murkied by, you know, other things.
I really enjoyed that one. I think that was, take Zodiac, No Country for Old Men, Gone Baby Gone, Black Book, and that, and those were probably my top five
Eastern
movies of the
promises,
year.
Yeah, yeah.
In no particular order there.
The Almighty Gooberzilla and the Greatest Movie Ever podcast present How Not to Treat Your Fellow Podcasters. Remember, Daryl, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Paul. You did.
I lied. www.fearthegooberzilla.com, the greatest movie ever podcast. A podcast so awesome, we eat other podcasters.
So listen, let's, I just named five, and I think they were pretty much all dramas there, some action stuff.
Yeah. We should think about, I'm pretty much going to concur with you. I didn't see Black Book.
So,
but,
I mean, if you had to pick another
one,
you saw
The Lookout was pretty good. I actually did end up seeing it.
Now, did you see Brick?
Yeah.
Was it comparable to that? Because people always mention it in the same breath, probably
because
of
the
Joseph
same actor.
Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I know it's also a noirish crime.
He's a totally different kind of character in it. He's pretty good, actually. I like him in Brick, and I like him in this.
He's a good actor.
The thing
great in 10 Things I Hate About You.
The thing I like about this one is that he plays this character who has, had something really terrible that happened that was sort of his fault.
Right.
And then, because of it, he has this brain damage thing, which is kind of a, I don't know, like a plot device, but then it's sort of it's also, used, but not used sometimes, you know? So it's kind of like, well, he has an inhibition thing, but it sort of only seems to come about when it's sort of relevant to the plot. It doesn't seem like it happens as much as it should or something. So there's some flaws to it. But
you know who I really liked, who knows in it was, and I totally forget his name now, but the British guy who's he's not probably doesn't speak with a British accent in it. But did you ever see Match Point?
Yeah.
Okay. The brother of the girl that he ends up marrying in Match Point, that guy is, his name is something Good, Matthew Good. He's on the cover of Lookout. I know it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the left, it's Matthew Good, and on the right, it's Jeff Daniels, yeah.
I don't know if he's playing the dirtbag bad guy that talks to me.
He has, short hair and, a little goatee.
Yeah, then he's the dirtbag.
Tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's a great actor. I really like that guy. So
I'm
really interested to see that film.
He really is a dirtbag, and you really
went to rent it one night and I wasn't in, and I just
want to see him get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
At the end, or you're curious to see. It's also the kind of movie where, I don't know, there's pathos for the main character, because he's, you know, he's kind of handicapped, so, you know, he can't really have a full life like he could have in the beginning. At the very beginning, you see the sense of he's a rich kid, and he's got, all the success, and he's in love with this beautiful girl, and boom, this thing happens to him, and, or he does, you know, he's kind of responsible for it happening, and because of that, not only is he damaged physically, but he's damaged psychologically because he's, you know, hurt other people too and everything else. And it really just puts him in a place where he can't actually live a full life anymore. And so then if these people come to him and, you know, this girl kind of seduces him, and that was another flaw in it, in my opinion, is what's her name? The one that usually plays a dingbat with the red hair that I think is kind of cute, but you said she's
Isla Fisher.
Obscenely Australian.
Oh, yeah.
She's in it, but she plays this sort of...
Mrs. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, she plays this...
not yet.
This chick that tries to kind of... Like, she's being... She's...
The femme fatale?
Pulling him into this bank robbery thing. Though then she just bails on the whole thing in the end. And, I mean, I don't want to give too much of it away. But,
yeah, don't, please. Yeah.
But it's kind of like... I don't know. I really don't like it when you see
a woman doing something bad to a man. That's just sexist, Ian.
Well, when you see somebody using things like that, using affection and using, concern and care to beat up on somebody who's clearly vulnerable like that, you know, I just in either side, I don't think it's sexist because I don't like to. I just dislike it just as much when you see some dirtbag do it to some nice girl in a movie or in real life, which I think happens more probably in real life, right?
Probably does. In
real life. But I think part of it is that I just really I like the character. I wanted the character to succeed. I wanted him to do the right thing and feel good. I wanted him. I felt real pathos for the character, so I was invested in. And it was also the kind of story that could have gone either way. Like it could have ended horribly tragically, or could have ended really well, and you don't know how it's going to go. And either way, you know you like it, you know, because it elicits something. So I got a kick out of it. But it was a pretty basic movie. You know, it's not worthy of, like, Oscars for anything, really.
So when you...
another one I watched that I liked was, and it's probably in some of their lists, is the Brad Bird Ratatouille. Right. Everyone said, actually,
I'm looking at a top comedy list right now, and it's number one.
They all said that they really liked it on Film Junk, and so I was like, they have pretty good sense. And I liked The Incredibles, and so Brad Bird, and I watched it.
All the Pixar films have been good.
Yeah, I've heard. I haven't watched all the Pixar films.
You didn't even see Finding Nemo, did you?
I haven't seen Nemo. I know that you did a pitch
that was exactly like it.
I haven't seen Nemo, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc. I've seen
those are all great. They're great movies. They really are.
I think I probably wouldn't like Monsters, Inc. because it's kind of got the hamming up Billy Crystal character.
He doesn't do it that much. It's actually really clever. It's a good movie. They make really impressive, like, landscapes.
Yeah.
And that movie has the most of them, even though most of it's set inside a factory. When they get outside it, you actually see the world, and it's really interesting.
Cool. Well, I might see that at some point. But Ratatouille was actually a pretty good little structure. It was almost like the one aspect of it that kept it from feeling like a full, like, real movie that wasn't just totally ridiculous, because it's a rat.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the rat can talk to other rats, but they never break the barrier of the rat being able to talk to the guy.
Like B-movie.
Yeah. It doesn't happen that way. But, I mean, it's almost like if it had instead... The rat's like a metaphor for kind of an underclass, sort of. If they had just actually done it properly that way and kept it all humans, then it would have probably... might not have been a kid's movie then. But the thing is, it's really not a kid's movie. Like, a lot of Brad Bird stuff...
It's got a lot of themes. It deals with death and...
Yeah, this one dealt with, like...
Iron Giant and Incredibles both deal with death in a really somber way.
Yeah, this one dealt with death, kind of, too, and did gruesome stuff. You know, he's got, just like in Incredibles with the skeletons, there's a point where the rat sees all these... Like, this guy's, the exterminator guy or whatever, on his front window's got a display of all these dead rats and things. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
My brother's watching parts of it. There's certain things that are being said that are happening, and he's kind of turning to me... Because he was making fun of me. I'm like, I'm going to go watch this.
Right.
And he comes up about 20 minutes into it, and he sits down, and he actually sits down and sort of watches it and enjoys it. No, it had heart. It had a good feeling, and it kind of hit the right points, like this evil critic guy who, like, apparently broke down the other guy, the former big chef, who was like, anyone can cook. You know, anyone can get it and figure it out. It's not this big pretentious thing. And he didn't like that, but then at the end he kind of comes full circle, and it had to, like, it was well animated, and the sound design in that movie was fantastic. It could be because as an animation, they're just like, they know they have to create it all,
right?
But like, there was a time when the rat's, like, trying to, like, not be seen when he's first in the kitchen, and he's jumping off different things with different kinds of, like, you know, harmonics and tones and stuff. You know, he jumps off the spatula and then onto a, you know, a bunch of dry spaghetti, and then, you know, hits a piece of, you know, like a glass Tupperware thing, or, you know, and I was like, this is really good sound design. And when he goes down a sewer at some point, and there's all this water, and it's all tumultuous and crazy. So I would put that in my, I think that would close up my five, maybe, that one in The Lookout.
Appreciate comedies, and I think that comedies should be able to be up there more often with dramas in, like, the best picture category, because the only time a comedy, quote unquote, is ever put up there is something like As Good As It Gets, which is not a comedy.
It's the James L. Brooks.
It's a dramedy, yeah. James Chains Hell Brooks, as the Simpsons Halloween specials usually say. I think that comedy should be appreciated more, but at the same time, I understand that some dumb comedy that I really enjoy is not technically as good a movie as some extremely well-crafted drama. But it's harder to do drama, I think. I may be wrong about that. But Hot Fuzz is a really interesting movie because it fits into more than just a comedy genre. Because not just the action thing, because there's many action buddy cop comedy type things. But this is, it's deeper and it's more intelligent than that because it's satirizing it.
Yeah.
And it's doing it in a really strange setting, which is like a little English
town
village, like, where everything's
seemingly all right.
Stone walls and stone houses and really, like, there's sheep everywhere, and it's like that sort of weird thing. That's a weird place to put
in.
It's
so ridiculous with the Timothy Dalton character with the mustache and just like the pure evil. But he just like reeks that.
I think Edgar Wright is really, like, a fantastic new auteur in this whole, you know.
No, Edgar Wright, he's the director, right?
Yeah.
He writes, co-writes it?
He co-writes with Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Like, they've done so far.
And then who's the guy that they usually, the big guy that's
usually the fat guy? It's Nick something.
Okay.
Nick,
because he's good too. He's
Nick
really
Frost.
Good.
Yeah, he's funny. And I read about how they do it, and apparently he does, like, Simon Pegg's really good at writing stuff, and Nick Frost just, like, the reason why he's an actor in the first place is because Nick Frost had been his roommate years ago, and while he was acting, Nick Frost was like, I want to be on the show, and he's like, what are you talking about? You can't be on our show. They had some, like, popular British sitcom, and he was like, yeah, I'll do this, and he would just do things that made Simon Pegg laugh, like, and laugh uproariously, and, like, no one else thought it was funny, but he thought it was funny, so he brought him to Edgar Wright, and he's like, yeah, you can be on the show, you know, so, like... Basically, if you watched, the behind the after footage?
No, I didn't.
The Hot Fuzz stuff was actually really good. I normally don't watch this stuff at all, but there were so many outtakes of, like, something happening, and Nick Frost would just say something inappropriate, and Simon Pegg would just lose it, and they couldn't shoot for, like, 18 takes. Like, he just kept ruining it. It was really funny.
That's cool.
The one part where they're walking along the wall toward the end, they're piecing it all together, and Simon Pegg is naming stuff really quick. He's naming people's names, and Nick Frost is going, and he's like, really pointedly, like, saying something about that person as he says it. But they have all these outtakes of him just saying completely inappropriate things, like, that have nothing to do with the person, or, like, you know, like, filthy slut, like, when he names a person, like, you know, terrible actor, like, stuff like that, and he just keeps losing it. Like, he just keeps doing it over and over. He's like, stop, we're trying to shoot a movie, and he just does it again. So I think, you know, he is funny, and when you look at him, you're like, that's not even an actor. But he's I think he is a decent actor. It's pretty
well, he does what he does, you know?
Shaun of the Dead, I was thinking about this, has one of the weirder endings, I think, in that, and this, I'll go ahead and spoil it since people, you know, this is years old, but so his best friend guy, who's basically living his life as someone who just sits there and yawns and plays,
I've seen it, so yeah,
plays video games, at the end, he, Nick Frost becomes a zombie, and Simon Pegg lives, and at the very end, it shows him there, Nick Frost is, like, chained to his shed, and Simon Pegg is basically reteaching him to play video games. Like, he's still alive and he's fine and he's just going to live his life basically like he was. So far, the two Edgar Wright films have been things where, like, the romance in it, and this was more pointed in Hot Fuzz, but I think it was there in Shaun of the Dead too, like, the romance aspect jokingly is between two men in a platonic relationship about how good buddies they can be. And there's some sort of rift that happens between them, and they end up coming back together. In Hot Fuzz, it's more parodic because they sit on the couch in that one moment, and they look deep into each other's eyes, and Simon Pegg says he doesn't know how to turn it off, and Nick Frost whispers kind of lustily, he's like, I know just how to help you turn it off. And it's like, you know, if this was just a regular romantic comedy, they would start banging right there. But instead, what happens is he shows him all the action movies he has, and he makes sure he watches Bad Boys too. You ain't never seen Bad Boys 2. Anyway. So Edgar Wright stuff's very interesting. I'm really interested to see what happens in his career. I think there's going to be some great stuff that comes out by him. I think that... So Hot Fuzz is one where you can put it at the top of a comedy list, but it's almost just kind of stands alone because it's really satire and it's pretty witty. And
the thing is,
comedy isn't always witty. It's just like, you know, it's people falling on their face and people farting and there's dicks on the screen. By the way, Walk Hard is the funniest moments where you see a guy's dick for like a total of probably 5 minutes.
That's crazy. I don't mind genre pictures if they do the genre well. And so, like, if it's a comedy, I'm not going to have trouble putting it in a top five without even specifying comedy. You know, I'll put Gone Baby Gone and then... Hot Fuzz, because Hot Fuzz worked as a comedy. I laughed when I watched Hot Fuzz, and I thought about the issues.
But it was also a good movie.
Yeah,
and
that's what I mean, because it was a good movie.
Right,
it works as a good comedy.
The thing with a lot of comedies is, and I do this all the time. I don't know about you, but I will come away from a comedy knowing that it's not a good movie, but I laughed a lot and I liked it, and so
there's that differentiation
too. Hot Rod is not a good movie, it's probably my favorite comedy I saw this last year because it just surprised me the most. It was the most off the wall and it was stupid. It was completely stupid and it meant to be. So, I don't know. Those two were really good. I really, in terms of other comedies, we've already mentioned Superbad and Knocked Up, and I'd have to put those in there almost by default because I didn't see a lot of other ones. I would put Superbad in there. Knocked Up might make the top five. It probably wouldn't if I saw other comedies this year, but I'm looking at this list of ones that came out. And they're putting things that aren't even comedies in there. Ratatouille was at number one. Waitress was number two. I heard that was like a dramedy. The Host is that horror movie from Korea.
Which I heard that, that was. I supposed I just to be kind of funny. They I put listened that as to number three. No, I listened to the Greatest Movie Ever. Just did a review of it, and they were like, "This is not a good movie. This is it's the beginning. It's not a monster movie.
Right.
The beginning, there's a monster in it, and then the middle is this whole like satire, but it's like just sort of like really deadpan. And it's really boring." They said about like how there's bureaucracy bumbling, failing, thinking these people have a virus.
The Simpsons movie didn't see it.
I saw it. I was actually surprised because I think it was a case of me being kind of
it looked really underwhelming.
Underwhelming, and then being like, no, yeah, but I think because I rented it,
yeah,
and I just watched it. I mean, though, I kind of felt like there was a couple spots where it was like, oh, they got kind of cinematic about it, you know, and it was some. But there was a couple of good jokes in there.
Right.
And, I mean, it gave you what you would want from The Simpsons, I think. It was just, like, a long episode.
The rest of this list is a whole bunch of stuff that just came out recently. Savages, Persepolis, Lars and the Real Girl, Juno.
Oh, Scanner Darkly. Was that
Scanner 2007? Darkly was really funny. I think that was 2006, though.
Yeah, probably was. But that one...
That was really funny. That was the thing. It's like,
my expectations were low, and I was thinking it was going to be this diet...
My expectations weren't low, because I usually like Philip K. Dick stuff, even the crappier ones.
Yeah,
I do. Paycheck.
But when Linklater took it over,
yeah.
All I could think of was, let's see, okay, it's about drug users, and I knew that Dick had this whole period where he was, like, essentially in Orange County or whatever.
Well, that period was his whole life.
With a bunch of meth heads. And all I could think of was, okay, it's Waking Life-esque, and there was that whole thing about Philip K. Dick in Waking Life.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like Linklater stuff most of the time, but he could get real pretentious with this, and this could be really like a satirical diatribe about, you know, whatever it was. And it kind of did a little of that, but it did a lot less of that than I expected. It was more of an actual, like... It was like an issue with, you know, and I think we'll talk about this when we do our podcast about addiction.
It was a really interesting
movie. It was good, and it worked.
One thing about Linklater is that, you know, you just mentioned there's an aspect of, like, pretension, basically just because of Waking Life, I think. But if you watch, like, Bad News Bears at School of Rock, this guy can just make cream of the crop, like, family comedy.
Things for 2007.
You know, 2007 had some really great video games on it. I don't know if
that's true. Maybe there was Mass Effect and
I didn't play
Halo 3.
Halo 3 is, you know, big time stuff. Call of Duty 4 is better as in terms of online shooter. BioShock is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love the Resident Evil games, and it's like one of those except for a first person shooter. It's like a horror survival, but it's got a really immersive storyline, and the setting is fantastic. It's this art deco, it's great.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen people play it.
Three quarters of the way through it right now, I've kind of been taking, you know, a couple hours and, you know, every few nights to play it. But
sounds anyway, great.
Yeah.
But in terms of music, there was a new Radiohead album, which did the whole thing where it released it for free, but not for free on the. And most Radiohead fans agree that it was pretty good. I thought. It was all right, but I mean, they'd been gone for a while on this one, and so, like, the difference between Hail to the Thief and Amnesiac was kind of, like, not a lot, but enough that you were like, okay, these are different kinds of things, but they're still good. This one, it seemed like it was just sort of more of whatever. I thought it was all right. There was a new Nine Inch Nails album that was pretty not great. I've listened to it once. I usually like music when I listen to it a second or third time. I've said this before on the podcast, something about maybe I'm just becoming an old man, but...
Right.
And I'm beginning to like older music, you know, more jazzy stuff or like down-tempo hip-hop jazz stuff that's good for Saturday night ambient in the background and not angry thrasher music or whatever.
Right.
In terms of comic books, I don't really know what's going on in the comic universe right now. But a lot of movies were made. A lot of threequels came out this year.
There was a lot of threequels.
There was
mostly bullcrap,
and then a lot of sequels.
There was Shrek 3, there was Pirates 3, there was Spider-Man 3.
And I saw part of Pirates 3, and I hadn't seen the second one. And I've only seen bits of the first one, so I was pretty confused. I actually felt like an old man sitting down like, well, what's going on with this guy? What's going on?
I don't understand.
But not like frustrated about it, but like more like an old dad, you know, walking in while his kids are watching. It's like, so is that guy supposed to be the good guy, or I don't understand why is the bad guy doing that, huh? My mom and my brother are like, well, see, they fell off the earth because they ended up at Davy Jones's locker. And
right.
Like, this isn't very good. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, by the third one, it got to be the grungiest, dingiest, most disgusting, dirty looking, like, group of people
in
these sets, and it became more and more, like, filthy and disgusting looking. And, like, they spent so much time doing it. And, like, these are supposed to be kids' movies, and they ended up being kind of violent and.
And it was long, really weird, really long, deep,
like super long,
not deep, but complicated, convoluted. Yeah, yeah,
like the plots were so convoluted,
and it was like, this doesn't seem like it's a fun adventure movie at all. It seems just like there wasn't any real action in it for a long period of time. I don't know what they screwed. I think that happens a lot though with these threequels where they do one and then the popularity is so huge they're like, oh, let's do two more. And then, you know, make it a larger story. It's like, did they know that, like I don't know if in The Matrix, did they know that they were going to do a bigger story than that? Because that movie ends, and you could
stand alone right there, yeah.
And so, I don't think they did. I don't know, but does the first Pirates movie do that, too? Kind of like, you could kind of just end it that way?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
Yeah, because they're going to get married and...
Happily, whatever,
yeah, blah, and, blah, blah. What's his name? Barb...
Jack Sparrow?
No, the,
Jeffrey Rush?
Yeah.
Seemed like 07 was a pretty... Pretty okay year.
It ended up at the end of it being a fantastic film year.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a year like this in
maybe 99 or something.
In a great while where there was really this great wealth of fantastic films by I think middle of the year there were some really good ones that I liked. Zodiac, Black Book, and Eastern Promises all came out well before Oscar season started.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I think if you look hard enough, you can find the hidden gems in any year. And I think maybe...
No, maybe, no, you
maybe
do.
Maybe because we were just watching stuff more.
Yeah, we were watching stuff more. We were trying to analyze it for the podcast.
I've spent so much of my life purposely going to see bad movies that I usually skipped a lot of ones I knew that were going to be good. And I didn't do that as much this year. So maybe I'm just thinking about it differently. But I've also heard from other critics that... Other critics like I'm one.
Yeah.
That you said this year was...
You're published.
Yeah. Yeah, I am published.
We're published. Self-publishing. Thanks to the new media, man.
Vanity Press. The new media, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The old media can kiss my balls.
Kiss it. Kiss it.
I didn't watch that much TV except for Adult Swim, and I really enjoyed a few of the new offerings. Dark Places was really good, which wasn't new. It was a couple years old, but it's new to America. And
the Sci-Fi Channel was running it before
Adult One Swim. Thing that I've been watching more and more, or each week I've been watching, and it's been getting better and better, even though it looked like possibly the stupidest thing they could possibly put on the air beforehand was Xavier Renegade Angel.
I've missed the last two or so of those.
Man, I think I still have the last one there if you want to watch it, but it's so, like, I don't know, I think it's the editing. It's the editing, because, like, somebody like says something retarded, and they just, like, cut away. Like, we didn't just say that, you know? Like,
yeah, or they repeat it four times and add an echo reverb to it.
Yeah. There's just something about it, like, it's all crammed into like 11 minutes, and they cram so much into it, like, they don't want to waste any jokes.
But that seems like that could get tired, like, in terms of like the Family Guy thing or whatever. It's like they're just cramming.
But you know what? Like, they cram stuff into Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but there's long pauses where they say something stupid and they stare at each other for very long amounts of time, and then suddenly Fry will say something, you know, or Master Shake will say something really quick, and like.
There's more general characters.
And they don't do that in this. They're like, I think these guys know that what they're doing is so terrible that they're trying to put everything they can into this before they get kicked off the air. Because that's what happened with Wonder Chosen. And it's the same guys. Wonder Chosen
is like. But Adult Swim is like, you know, they get behind something, they just get behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And they totally, get behind the cheapest stuff. And,
you
know, they're behind Tim and Eric for, you know, I guess Tim and Eric could, you know, do an episode that's just a sheet of paper for 11 minutes, probably. Always Sunny episodes again.
Oh, yeah.
That
show
is hilarious. I haven't seen the first or second season in a long time.
I went all the way through the first and second season, except for like the last three episodes of the second season. I need to watch those again. I missed most of the third season.
The third season was, that was another 2007 television thing that was pretty funny. I started watching The Wire, but that new show Life, I realized one of the guys that writes for The Wire, like, is like either the creator of that show or like writes on that show a bunch. So there's a commonality in the creative energies there. So it makes sense that it's a pretty good show as far as I can say in terms of a new show.
Right.
House was continuing to be pretty good. They kind of changed it up, but they managed to get away with doing that. And it didn't seem too hacky.
I've only seen a few episodes of that show. I don't watch a lot of TV, like I keep mentioning, besides it all swim in sports.
And TiVo'd bad movies.
Yeah, TiVo'd really bad movies, which we're not watching for some reason right now. You could be watching The Marine or something.
The Marine.
And me and Blaine already watched Batman and Robin the other night, so I just erased it.
Yeah, that's good, because...
But man, it was brilliant. The more,
The Ice Age.
I think I might be able to quote the whole movie then.
Oh my gosh.
Criminy.
Okay, that was not 2007. 2007, a good year for South Park too.
It was, actually. Episode,
they did the trilogy.
The season before was extremely disappointing.
I don't know if it was extremely.
It was to me. I didn't like it, and I think the epitome of it was the stupid global warming one that was on the ice one.
Yeah,
and that was the most unfunny, stupid South Park I've ever seen.
That wasn't very good.
There were other ones. I didn't like that midget one as much as you did.
No, I didn't like it that much either. But watching it, there's a lot of good satire.
I thought there was a series of ones that were not that good, like bookended by a couple of really funny ones. Mm-hmm. Then this last season was just fantastic.
Yeah,
it really was good.
They got back into their stride. I was just listening to the commentary on as I watched all the Christmas ones.
Yeah,
and the Critter Christmas. So basically, it starts with, okay, so here's the deal. It's Wednesday, and we have a week to get come up with a show. We're thinking maybe we'll do a Christmas one, but we don't really have anything figured out. Like, okay, so now it's Saturday, and we still don't have anything figured out. I'm like, okay, fuck it, we're just going to do the John Denver Christmas thing. I said, once we came up with Blood Orgy, we got it. But damn, that is such a funny episode to me. It's Great at Christmas, dude, it sucks ass. And then they brought him back for the, in the new season, for the Imagination Land.
Right, yeah.
Well, golly, we can't fish and rise if we don't have eggs. No trouble, y'all. I'm sure we can go find AIDS in the woods. It'll be all right. But yeah, I think 2007, I don't know, I think I had a better time. Maybe because I started doing the podcast and watching movies.
Struggle with it as
well. Okay. It's not that funny.
It is pretty funny.
Not at this point. Is it funny again?
It's still funny.
Okay.
You got it?
Please.
Okay. He kept saying we should get up and get the door, and I said, no, it's funny. How long were you going to do that for?
Until she got in.
Yeah, until just now.
Fouled out lately?
Tired joke.
I think it's pretty funny.
What did you think of 2007 in terms of movies and television and music and the like?
Oh, she liked P.S. I Love You, I'm sure.
What? Right.
Didn't you?
Wasn't that?
I kind of enjoy it, I'll admit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just watched the movie War.
Oh, I want to watch that. Was that me and Jason Statham? That looked terrible. Was it bad?
I've heard that's not pretty bad.
I heard it was awful.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Why are you watching movies that are bad?
First of all, there was only one, like, actual fight scene without knives and guns. Because it's whatever his name is, you're expecting...
Jet Li.
Yeah, you're expecting
Kung Fu action.
Yeah.
You guys pay too much to do that stuff now.
And I love watching that stuff, and, like, there's only one, like, 30-second... fight without like people just shooting each other in the head and having it be done with. The plot like changed like there was like four different like oh that's what happened
twists.
Oh yeah, it was really stupid. It was dumb.
What's that one? My brother asked me about that one that he's getting, the Jason Statham one with Ray Liotta, where it's like for the king or something.
For the king.
It's going to
come out. The name of the king.
The name of the king.
That looks so nice.
I thought it might have been. Oh, man.
Jason Statham has such a streak of terrible movies going on.
Who's forcing you to watch bad movies? Why are you being stuck against your will to watch?
Sean and Craig and Josh maybe watch that one. P.S. I love y'all.
I thought you subjected Josh to P.S. I love
you. I did.
You.
Yeah.
It was almost like you tortured him.
He deserves it.
It was like dental torture.
You're familiar with
dental torture.
Yeah. Is it safe?
Well, what did you go to the theater to see? Like maybe four or five things, three things?
What were you excited to see when you saw a preview for it this year?
What came out this year?
Good point.
There was nothing I was really excited about. Actually, Die Hard I was excited about.
I was excited about Die Hard too. I liked it this time.
Die Hard.
What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I did not like that they edited the Yippee-ki-yay mother.
No, you can watch that though if you get the unedited
version. Yeah, but that's becoming so common now. It's like people are going to just wait. Always go at the end. Director's cut. That's no good. That's what Ted says. No good.
No good.
So what else did you go see that one at the theater?
Yes.
What else did you see at the theater?
Michael Clayton.
That was like a drama, right?
Yes, with my favorite George Clooney.
Okay.
Very disappointed.
Wasn't exciting, wasn't
so boring.
It's supposed to be a good movie. They said that intelligent
really
people like it. That's what the critics said.
Really?
Were your expectations just not what... You weren't in the mood for the kind of movie that it was at the time?
It's not that I wasn't in the mood for it. I just don't like movies like that. There was like... It was too...
Was it melodramatic?
Slow. Yeah, there was just no... Like, there was no fighting. There was no, like... I don't know. It was just boring to me. I guess I'm just not...
The conflict was abstracted and the pacing was slow. I get you.
Yeah, nobody I was with liked it. And he had like a whole row of people.
What else were good potential things of 2007?
Your mustache thing. That was probably the best thing that came out of 2007. You're about to kill it in 2008.
That's right. Count T-minus 17 days.
Are you cutting your...
Yeah, I'm getting rid of this thing. It was a joke.
It's not a joke. It's deadly serious. It's deathly serious.
Deathly serious.
And deathly hallows.
So you're getting rid of your facial hair?
Yeah, in a couple weeks. Probably.
So you're not going to be
a dirtbag
anymore?
I always say
scumbag every time.
I'd say if that's what it elicits from you, you know? You got to go with your gut on that one. Go with your gut. Gosh, I was going to ask you something. I don't remember now.
Reading something about him the other night on Wikipedia, uh-huh. It turns out that he actually died of stomach cancer that he had for like 7 years. And then after that, I thought about stomach cancer all last night and had like dreams about it. And like,
what is up with that?
I'm a huge hypochondriac, man.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're a cancer chondriac.
I'm a cancer.
Like, you're not a germaphobe.
Well,
you've got
well,
dirty
here's
dishes
the thing,
sitting
like,
right here.
I mean, hypochondria is only goes so far as you dying of whatever you're getting,
yeah.
And it's pretty much cancer. I mean,
yeah.
For some reason, I'm not afraid of heart disease because if a heart attack's going to kill me, it's going to do it without me knowing it.
It's just, or you're going to know it, but it's going to take maybe 10 minutes or less.
So, and that's cool. Hopefully. That's fine with me. Yeah.
It's the idea that, someone tells you, you've got about 9 months, 6 months. Yeah,
you've got this much time to live. Or
and there's a thing progressively that you have, get worse.
Yeah. And that's just terrible. I couldn't handle it.
No.
I want to be killed in my sleep.
You want to
be murdered in my sleep.
You
want
to be murdered.
Yeah.
You don't just want to die. You want to die.
I want to be murdered in my sleep. I used to tell my wife, and it really bothered her. I said, I imagine myself, this was how I my perfect death. I'd be driving through Eureka, cutting people off in traffic, and someone would get so pissed off, they would drive up next to me and shoot me in the head with a shotgun, and my car would flip over and
careen,
envelop a whole like block in a mushroom cloud of, like, and just, I would kill like 15 people along with me, but I want to die without knowing it's coming. I turn and see a shotgun, I'm like, yes, here it is. That's how I want to go.
Wow.
Hopefully that can happen when I'm like 90, because I'd like to
I think I kind of prefer the Wild Bunch kind of thing, where it's like...
You decide to go?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not, right? We got nothing else to do. Let's go die.
Fuck this, man.
We ain't got no place here anyhow.
Nope.